From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, how changes in the Dallas and Fort Worth school districts have made the superintendent's job difficult. We begin, though, with the felony charges against Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Paxton says he's not guilty. Democrats want him to resign. KERA's Bill Zeeble spoke to a securities lawyer about the challenges ahead.
Campbell Zachary's been an attorney for 40 years, and for most of those, he specialized in securities defense law. Two of the three felony charges against Paxton carry a maximum life sentence.
I think any time that, whether you're a politician or a business person or the man on the street, when you're charged with something that exposes you to being incarcerated for several years, that's very serious.
The Collin County indictments named two investors who put money into the McKinney business Servergy, not knowing Paxton was collecting a commission.
He did not disclose to them what the indictment claims he should have. He wasn't actually an investor in what he was offering to sell, and that he was getting compensated in amounts of $100,000 or more, which is what kicks it into the felony level.
Zachary believes the prosecution has an advantage based on the strength of the grand jury indictments, but he expects a tough Paxton defense and imagines possible explanations.
For example, that he was unaware that his failure to disclose that type of information could be instrumental in his selling of the product.
Democrats called for Paxton's resignation. Dallas County Democratic Party Chair Carol Donovan helped lead a small protest Monday on the McKinney Courthouse steps.
We are concerned about a man who calls himself the Attorney General of Texas, who has obviously not led us by example.
Neil Katz, though, Collin County's Republican executive director, says Paxton should stay where he is.
An indictment does not show somebody is guilty. An indictment shows there's a question to be answered. And since he has not been put down as guilty, he should not resign at all. He should stay the course and do his job.
Paxton's attorney says that's what the attorney general plans to do, go back to work in Austin. He'll also follow the judge's direction and say nothing about the case. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
For the last few weeks, we've been exploring the challenges in leading a large urban school district. Today, Stella Chavez reports how changes in Dallas and Fort Worth have made the superintendent's job harder.
Inside the Dallas West Branch Library, a group of elementary-age kids are busy chowing down on sandwiches, fruit slices, celery sticks, and chocolate milk.
A pineapple.
You guys like pineapple?
Yeah.
It used to be you couldn't eat or drink in the library. These days, at least during summer, serving food is not that unusual. In fact, 11 Dallas Public Library branches now offer free lunches to children. Patrick Ranson had the day off from his landscaping job and joined his son Ashton in a meeting room designated for the meals.
You know, I think that's very good for the kids to have somewhere to go, because it's a lot of poor people in West Dallas, and, you know, some homes may not have any food.
And that's a problem for large urban school districts like Dallas and Fort Worth. Today, about 1 in 5 school-age kids live in poverty. 15 years ago, it was 1 in 7.
It's a cry for help, being an underprivileged kid. And sometimes in the home, you know, you only have one parent, and that parent has to work two jobs, so the kid is left to raise their self almost.
It's not just poverty that's had an impact on schools. Tim Knowles of the University of Chicago has written about school leadership, reform, and accountability.
I would say it's just the changing nature of America, and the cities have become more diverse. There's many more language groups than have historically been there in the past, and cultures and ethnicities, and that has created both huge opportunities as well as challenges for big system school leaders.
And with those challenges often come changes in leadership. Mike Miles left Dallas after just 3 years, and Fort Worth is due to choose its new leader after the previous pick withdrew.
It's a terrible irony that superintendents don't stay longer, because the places where they do stay longer tend to perform better over time.
Knowles says when superintendents stay longer, the district isn't constantly trying to introduce new initiatives, which means kids might learn more deeply.
The fact that the average superintendent's tenure is 3 years or less means that they've almost turned into the equivalent of NFL coaches. They bounce around from city to city, and they aren't there long enough really to pay significant dividends.
By today's standards, Linus Wright broke a record. He served a decade as superintendent in Dallas starting in 1978. Wright, who's 88, says the biggest change he's seen is the friction between superintendents and board members.
Too many of them want their agenda, and that's something that the people have to address. They have to elect people that are willing to work collaborative with everybody. And when you have board members that want to go their own independent way, it naturally creates problems, just as much as the superintendent wants to go his independent way.
Trini Garza went his own way and paved the way when he became the first Hispanic elected to the Dallas School Board in 1970.
When I first came on the board, there were no Hispanics administrators at the top level, no principals, and only one school that I remember was named after an Hispanic, Benito Juarez.
Back then, 1 in 10 Dallas students was Hispanic. Today, it's 7 in 10. By the time Garza returned to the board in the mid-90s, single-member districts were opening doors for more Hispanic board members. At a recent luncheon in Fort Worth, Mayor Betsy Price focused on the positive changes she's seen, like focusing lessons on new technology.
And they're also picking up on the fact that the kids aren't all going to go to college. They may long-term, but they've got to have a deliverable skill where they can make a living when they first get out of high school.
Price says whoever leads the district next will have to be creative and willing to listen. Most important, she says, stability, preferably longer than 3 years. Stella Chavez, KERA News.
This story is part of our American Graduate Initiative, charting the journey from childhood to graduation. Expect a high of 98 today from the KERA Newsroom. I'm Sam Baker.